Father in heaven, we thank you again to know that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, became the precious Lamb of God in turn that we might know what it is to be born into the family of God. And then today, we thank you, Lord, for the Mother's Day, for every one of us came by the mother's womb. And Father, she went to the door of death for each of us that we might be born into this world. And our Savior went to death and rose from the dead that we might be born again when we come into this earthly life. So this morning we open this book and ask you to give us wisdom to put everything together. And may I be able to be the instrument in hand to say words, and the people in the pew would actually receive those words and realize it had come more than just hearing, but part of us as we listen to the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And I'm going to be reading verses down about 10 through 31 for the message this morning. While you're turning there, I want to give you the topic, and you should do that, but since it's Mother's Day, you know it's going to be something about mothers. And my topic this morning is motherhood is the highest vocation given by God as far as this world is concerned. And while you're finding that, I run across some things the other day about mothers and what they had in their kitchen, written little slogans. And it fits right in, I believe. One mother had in her kitchen this sign that said, so this isn't home, sweet home. Adjust somewhere else if you want to. Another mother put down, Martha Stewart doesn't live here. Another mother said, ring the bell for maid service. If no answer, do it yourself. Another mother had a sign in her house that I clean house every other day. Today is the other day. Another mother had a sign said, if you write in the dust, just don't leave a date. Amen. Another mother said, I would cook dinner, but I can't find the can opener. Another mother had a sign said, my house was clean last week. Too bad you missed it. And mother said, I came, I saw, and I decided to order takeout. One mother said, a sign, if you don't like my standard of cooking, lower your standard. Another mother said, it doesn't always look this way. Some days it's worse. Another mother's sign said, a messy kitchen is a happy kitchen. This kitchen is delirious. Another mother had a sign said, a balanced diet is a cookie in each hand. One mother had on the refrigerator, thou shalt not weigh more than the refrigerator. Oh, that's pretty good. Another mother said, countless numbers of people have eaten in this kitchen and gone on and lived a normal life. One sign from a mother said, my next house will have no kitchen at all, just vending machines. And I like the last one. The last one a mother had in the kitchen said, I live life in the fast lane, but I'm married to a speed bump. I was about not read that one, I tell you. But anyhow, thank God Almighty for mothers. Amen. If you look with me in Proverbs, as Solomon writes, he said, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of a spoil. She would do him good, and notice not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh wittingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out at night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needed. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering as tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceit, and beauty is vain. Now watch this last verse as we close this reading. Favor is deceit, and beauty is vain. The very thing that we seek for in this life, especially in our day, is favor. And we spend billions of dollars on beauty products. Now look around. No, you some of you some this morning, because you didn't look like that when you got up this morning, I guarantee you. And neither did I look like I did, or do. Amen. Either way, did or do. Notice he said, favor is deceit and beauty is vain, but watch. And a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Isn't it amazing? If you have God in your heart and you reverentially fear him, especially if you know what it is to be born into the family of God, there will be a beauty there that's inside that will outweigh anything that you can do cosmetically on the outside. And God tells us about a heart. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own work praise her in the gates. I want to speak to you again. As I said, motherhood is the highest vocation given by God. And of course, you could say parents are the highest vocation, but since we did with mother, she's a part of that equation. And when I go back and begin to look, I looked up and Martin Luther said years ago, he explained the fifth commandment when he said this. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, but with the words he used, he says, honor your father and your mother. Isn't it amazing that this phrase is a key phrase that God gives for long life in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12? You see, God has given this walk of life, fatherhood and motherhood, a special position of honor in life. This is where God himself distinguished father and mother above all other persons on earth and places them next to himself as far as what he is writing about. This world rises and tries to tell women, do something important with your life. And that's not a bad slogan or a bad statement, but there's more things important in God's sight than many things that we're striving to do in this life today. Think about it. In God's eye, there's no value higher than parents, and today we're talking about mothers in that equation. Why does the vocation of teachers and doctors and nurses and governors and secretaries of state and speakers of the House and even presidents exist? According to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 through 7, 1 Peter 2:14, they exist to serve the vocation of parents in homes and in humanity, to protect, to promote, and many things that governments nowadays seem to have forgotten when God set these up. This is not because people who serve in the vocation of parents are somehow more important than people who are not parents, but people who are born equal in creation while planning their lives in time has the opportunity to do whatever comes their way. And those in Jesus Christ are equal in redemption. And God expects those who know Jesus as Savior to do different things than those who do not, and he lays the standard for them in life. While the Bible teaches us that, what the Bible teaches is that the vocation of fatherhood and motherhood is more important than any other vocation in life. And reason for that is because it deals with human beings in the image of God himself. Human beings that are fallen who are born through the mother's womb. And I'm glad that God didn't forget us when Adam fell, but through the years prepared a way that we could be brought back to a standard to God himself. Now, the wages are not so great as far as parenthood is concerned, as far as motherhood is concerned, but the product of the mother is a new creation in life through physical birth, and that's something that anyone else can do in the image of God except the womb of a mother. Now, angels are created, but they cannot reproduce. Animals can create in their kind, as far as reproduction is concerned. But only male and female can produce someone in humanity after the image of God. And it's in the mother's womb where that incubator is used to bring about that life from conception until time to bring it into this world to be seen with physical eyes. I have 3 points. Oh, motherhood is the highest vocation given by God. We live in a world, first of all, fighting everything we do. We live in a world upside down today as far as life is concerned. We live in a sinful society. And so society has their own ideas about what we should be doing because they have no revelation of who the true and living God is unless they know Him in the age of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I admit that that's where we get a lot of trouble today for taking that stand. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the only stand you can take to know the true and living God in the age of grace, in our time. Now, in times past, there was ways that people did do things. In the Old Testament, we know Israel did a little different way. They had to still obey the same God. It amazes me now as I listen to people talk about gods. And now they have a lot of things on these news broadcasts and history channels and some religious channels go back. And they talk about who the true and living God is. And I heard a person say this past week that when you really talk about Christianity or the Jews, or you talk about those who are outside of Christianity, the Jews, or you talk about atheists and others, they say when you trace it back all the way, though it may be different channels, it ends up with the same God. A false God will never end up to the God we're worshiping. I don't care who tries to put it back there. A false God has no ideas except the ideas of a person who's actually worshiping. And most of the time it's what they want to be said rather than what the God of this Bible has to say. And so such society this time, they say our society tells women that motherhood is a hindrance, that it's kind of a drag, that they'll hold you back. This type of society offers them a deliverance from the burden of children, or at least they try to. How do they do that? We're hearing that today because they're telling it, well, you need to wait later before you have children. And if you'd wait too late, of course, you know, with God, all things are possible. Even Sarah had one at 90 years old. But God, it tells us there is a time when the body reacts a lot more to the things that has to do with childbearing as far as a lady is concerned. By offering them women's right, though, they choose to say, you have a right to decide what happens to your body. Well, isn't it an amazing thing? If you're saved, we're supposed to give our whole system to God. Do you know that? We're to surrender our body to Him. As a matter of fact, they say you need to choose maybe fewer children or not this child or that child or something wrong with that. You can go through abortion and no children right now or no children ever. Listen to me, folks. Children are not an interruption of parents' life work. God set forth a premium that children are a parent's life work. And we're talking about today the mother's side of this. Honor is different than love. Honor includes love, humanity, and also humility and also modesty and deference towards a majesty concealed within modesty. And in turn, you find that this concealed is hidden. That is, it is hidden from the eyes which are not redeemed. Unredeemed people who don't see through eyes of faith can't really understand anything of what God says. God puts a premium on the home. God puts a premium on the individual life. Jesus died for the individual, which would affect the home. And in turn, He set up things around us to protect also when it comes to government. Because we know that man's sin heart is sinful, been born of Adam, yet at the same time, God has prepared a way that we can have a way back unto Him. And so here we see that we are to honor God Almighty. And this is what Martin Luther was talking about when he's talking and quoted and commanded, honor your father and your mother. Now, Luther said the vocation of a mother, and watch this, and I love this, because I looked at it a few weeks ago. He said the vocation of a mother is adorned with majesty, concealed, hidden from the eyes, which are not been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so since the unredeemed eyes cannot see motherhood, honor, position, they are told to pursue this or pursue that, that you don't have to do this or that. After all, it's your own body. Chase after this, chase after that. After all, what really matters in life is what you want, not what someone else's want. Well, if that's the case, some things we need to leave alone so we don't get caught in a trap. If what I do would hinder me from something else, and it means simply that a life would have to be taken because of something we did that was illegal or wrong, well, someone else shouldn't have to suffer for that. But we find we don't discipline ourselves, but we try to discipline after the fact. And when you do, it affects lives. And who knows how many children may have grown up to be a giant for God, and they were aborted before they were ever born. Who'd ever know how many people? So I'm glad this, though, that they cannot keep them out of heaven, even in a mother's womb. God's blood, Christ's blood, will take care of anything that they had not a chance to do, because, people say, well, Adam's sin didn't. I'm not to give account for Adam's sin. No, but we have to give account for our own sin. And we know this. We came into this world lost as a child and grew up as a human being as lost. But at the same time, we know Jesus loved us and died for us. And therefore, the blood of Jesus Christ can take care of that child until he gets home, if he goes home early without the age of accountability. And I believe that from a scripture, and I'd have time to go more into it for that. So these people cannot see the majesty of motherhood. To them, anything is better than motherhood. Since the unredeemed eye cannot see mother's honor, position, they are told to do all these things. I'm not saying that women should not work outside the home, because I've seen some women who work outside the home are better mothers than somebody who stayed home. But it ought to be that every mother would put a priority on that which she's been blessed with, and that's when God has let them have a child. There's been many couples who cannot have children, and they adopted. Thank God for couples who realize that there is a situation in life that all lives need to be trained in the Lord. And thank God when Christian people adopt children and they're raised in an atmosphere where they can hear the word of God. That's precious, I believe, in God's sight, as much so as a birth where it has been hindered for some reason as far as physical life is concerned. I am saying that the greatest vocation is found in the eyes of an infant when you sit and watch that child developing. I'm saying the greatest vocation is found in the eyes of an inquisitive strive of a child, the hopeful gaze of a young person, the confident strive of a teenager, the independence of a young man or a woman stepping beyond the bounds of the home for the first time because of parental love. They have been trained, if they even rebel, they've been trained that God should be first in everything. And when he is, there will be a blessing. When God's standards are met, there will be a blessing. And you heard me say the other day, I don't see how anyone could think that God is to bless somebody when he breaks the very standard that God set. Expect God to bless someone who's broken the standard? It only makes sense to a person. Surely God is worthy to be served and obeyed if he sets standards rather than break his standard. We live in a country, and I told the other ones, we live in a country now, ladies and gentlemen, where even our own government come together when a tragedy takes place and pray, and yet in between when there's no tragedy, we try to remove God every way we can. How do we do that, preacher? Well, look at what we're doing, trying to take the commandments out of a place, trying to remove God's name from everything. And by the way, you look at the remnant in this land, they're not wanting that, but there's something about the government that says we can do it, and if we can do it, we'll do it, and we pass the law, you've got to abide by it. I'm afraid we're going to have to learn. The apostle said when it comes to obeying, we have to obey God rather than man if it goes against God. And we need to learn that slogan as the apostles used in their day because of where we're at in this world. So I'm saying that, again, that this is a tremendous saying. Here is a blessing where no angels can have been blessed with such grace by God. So we live in a sinful world. The second thing I want you to look at, as the world looks at motherhood. Back a few years ago, on Good Morning America, there was a TV survey. And these people were asked this question, and to list three top television moms of the last several decades, and we'll give them, if nothing else, fantasy, we'll give them a gold medal and a silver medal and a bronze medal. And so they got hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of suggestions. You know who got the gold medal? The gold medal went to Claire Huxtable of the Cosby. Claire was always impeccable dress, despite of having six children. She had a full-time career, she was a lawyer, I believe, and still kept a spotless home and didn't even have to have a maid. The silver medal went to Marion Cunningham with Happy Days. She always looked good in an apron. She was always smiling. I don't know of anything else. The bronze medal, according to this TV survey, was given to Marge Simpson of The Simpsons. Marge was married to Homer. I don't guess she can hold that against her. She certainly had to have patience. But what I'm saying to you, how can a real mom today live up to all this fictitious stuff? The standard is that they say high by evaluating, but God has a higher standard. And I'll tell you, the higher standard is what God blesses. We can pick somebody from the world if they had no telling who it'd been. But I guess they'll do this, they said. We'll pick somebody, but all Bell knows the fictitious characters. The third thing, mothers cannot claim the honor of having built some great cathedral. But I tell you what she can claim the honor of is preparing the incubator for the greatest thing that ever happened, and that's a boy or girl been born through flesh. No cathedral would do that. Gives her body for that. Many have built dwellings for immortal souls. One of the amazing things about that, a mother knows the child 9 months before anybody else knows it. We know of them, but she knows them. She can tell you right fast, like, you know, she's got to love them. But boy, it's not a good trip, is it? Not an easy trip. You know why? God said he put upon mothers the pain of birth because of sin. And it is a pain. I mean, I don't think the hollering, and I don't see how some women can. Sometimes somebody say they don't hide the hollering. I think if I had to have a child, you'd hear me 10 blocks. Amen? As a matter of fact, I'd be one of those probably wanting. I don't know, I'm kidding. What I'm saying to you, though, here, God has set a great high premium on this wonderful thought of birth itself. Mothers instill a sense of imagination in us with words. And dad has a stiff word, but mother has a way of putting it too. You ever heard this? Don't you do that again, or else. Now, you don't mind don't do that again, but you don't know what that else is. And you know there's something on that to watch out for. Because a Christian mother won't say that and not keep her word. And she'll surprise you what that else is when it comes. You ever heard someone say this? Mother taught us anticipation. You just wait till your father gets home. And then you know. Most of the time that kind of closes up a little bit. Mother's also told us to count to at least 3. You do something and she says, all right, that's 1. That's 2. That's 3. Now, if she said 3, you know that was something coming. You didn't want 4 to come. And most of the time it got your attention. I'm talking about the way they deal with us. Mother's taught us repentance. You better not ever do that again. Mother's taught us self-control and with imagination. You better not touch that again, or else. You better not touch them showed control, or else shows imagination. I'm saying to you, mothers cannot be honored maybe for building great cathedrals. Maybe there's some that has, but I'm saying in general, but every mother can be honored by being the incubator, the place where God chose to create a new creature that he said would be in his likeness and to go through the pain. This world tries to tell women, do something important with your lives. Well, let me ask you, what is more important in a mother's life than that boy or girl that sits across the eating table at lunchtime or at dinner or breakfast or whenever you're eating together and see the mother and realize what she did for me to be born? Consider the hats that she wears. And I believe every one of these, and these I'm going to list a few. She's a chef, she's a dietitian, she's a nurse, she's a philosopher, she's a cosmologist, she's a mathematician, she's a physician, she's a lawyer, a judge, a spiritual director, a moral compass. She's a teacher of discernment and aesthetics, she knows, and manners and tempers and modest. She's personal manager, she's a home organizer, she's a chauffeur, she's a referee. And refuse too, I guess. And also, she is a head janitor. She's faithful to the church. And the example of faithfulness in respect to her husband needing to provide. And hear what we said she does in verse 11. As you look in chapter 31 of Proverbs, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of a spoil. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And that simply means, ladies and gentlemen, we who are dads and mothers, we need to be sure that we see that we do to their good because of what God has given her. We need the balance of that in life, even though with the problems. I'm glad God gives us a term that we can say, I'm sorry. Not me, preacher. I've never said it. Maybe you need to say it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Two people not alike growing up in the same home is not going to have just a few problems, a lot of problems. And I guarantee you this, the greatest thing in this world is two people married and be married 50 years later or 60 years later and realize that marriage changes, but it changed for the better when you know how much you need each other. We need each other, folks. God gave us a balance. The wife has something the man doesn't have. The husband doesn't have. The husband has something the wife doesn't have. And it's a balance in the home that God gives us that we might be able to do the things that he'd have us to do. And I say to you, it's time the Fellowship Baptist Church again is off the vocation of motherhood and give honor to the majesty concealed in her that by God, whether it be by birth or whether it be by adoption. There's no greater event in this world than the event of natural birth, except the parents' desire of the parents trying to bring their children up into God's wisdom. And by the way, that's what God's people need to try to do. The first on the forefront of a child is what they hear from their parents. Now, wisdom comes through the spiritual birth, through Jesus Christ, which is being born again. I appreciate the young folks this morning. When they talked about mother, I had also come up with the word mother. But so they had some of the better things than I had. But I thought, and I put down for this, mother is for the many things that you do. M is for the many things that you do for us. O is for always considering, caring for others. T is for the tears that shed over us through the years. H is for our heart of unconditional, for your heart of unconditional love for us. E is for your eyes that penetrates our soul when we did something that was wrong as a child or even as an adult. And R is for being right even when we were wrong. And you put them all together and you have the consummation of that spells mother. When I look at this, and I begin this message up, and I've told this before, but I will never forget, I don't know why, it seems like that most of the time, if there's something wrong physically, hurting, otherwise, we go to the mother first. And the reason for, I think, God has given her some compassion to say it's going to be all right. Now, dad can say it, but I guarantee you, more people go to the mother when they're hurting than they do to their dad. God gave them something special. And I experienced that. You heard me tell when I had hip whooping cough when I was about 5-6 years old, And I'll never forget it. It's terrible. I remember it today. I had it for days. And I'd get coughing and coughing and coughing, and I'd lose my breath and everything else, and I'd start running to the house, and I'd call mother. I never called dad. I never did call dad. It wasn't that he wouldn't have come, but I don't think he could come for me like she did. And I come crying, coughing, and she grabbed hold of me and pull me right up to her stomach and say, Charlie, it's going to be all right, son. That's all right. Just be right. And she'd comfort me. And all of a sudden, the coughing would leave. And I'd get back playing again. And then it would be 30 minutes later, I'd get coughing again. Cough so much, my head was going to go off the top of my head. And I'd run again, calling mother, and she heard me. She'd come right then to the back, take hold and say, you know, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Three times I remember doing that in one afternoon. And every time she soothed that. They're there. They comfort us in the air. Sometimes we get old, we forget those things. And maybe this is something I've told a few times, but I never thought of as much as I've thought in the last few days in messing with this and getting up this message. And I looked at that, and I thought about when I had the mumps and had the measles. I don't never remember calling my dad one time. I'm sure he would have been there if need be. But when I had those things, it was always my mother I wanted. You know why? God's given mothers a caring heart. Men a little stronger, and maybe you need that. But God gives a mother a caring heart. And in turn, that combination is needed. The dad and the mother is needed at home to balance it out, ladies and gentlemen, because every individual has characteristics of both, and it needs to be balanced out so that when they get on their own, they begin to use it, hopefully for the Lord. And then if they get out of the harness and don't do that, you pray that that teaching God has promised, that he bring them back when they become older. And thank God, we have that promise. So when I see this, I look at this all together, and I see that mother is playing an important part in life. One who God has adorned with replenished majesty, concealed hidden from the unredeemed heart, but seen with the redeemed heart. And this is your day today, mother. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and to those who has a mother's heart. just waiting for your child to be born, either born or adopted, or even the fact one day to be a mother, to be of a child. From God, Solomon said that listening is the key to knowledge in the Proverbs. From God, Moses said to honor fathers and mothers is the key to longer life in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And today we honor mothers. One of the greatest stories I've ever read, a few years ago and found it again this past week, was a lady by Susan Shelley. She was 5 months into the first pregnancy she had of a son. Her and her husband were having the greatest joy of all. You know, you always hear the story that the first child you have, if you've never had a child before, the first child you have, you're scared about everything. Every time he whimpers. And I believe children sometimes learn if they whimper, they can get you to come real fast like. The first child you go and you get him up and you walk the floor and, you know, and you get to tell him he got so bad, the husband will say it's your time or the wife say it's your time. You know what that is. Well, they get the second child come along, then it's a little bit different. You know how to fix the bottle and so forth, and you say, well, let's go in there and just you feed him. You get the third child, you fixed it. By that time, you really know what's going on. The third child, you get him, you fix the bottle, put it on his pillow and say, take it and eat, and you go back to bed. What I'm saying, though, this dear lady, bless her heart, 5 months into a pregnancy, she had a problem. Went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, but the aorta of your child is not connected like it should be, and therefore there's parts of his body that's dying. And there's really nothing we can do where he's at this 5 months time. And it's back before they had modern-day things like we have today, I guess. And you're going to have to decide what to do, because what is happening, he's probably going to be aborted. And you might as well make the decision what to do now. And you know what that is. Abort him. You need to go ahead and have the abortion. And this dear Christian lady prayed about it, and I will get it. Bless in my heart to read what she wrote. She came back and said, Doc, we can't do that. I don't understand. Don't you know this child's going to die anyhow? I know that. But we need God as the giver and the taker of life. And this is the only opportunity that I get to know my son in my womb in this world. And it's the only world that he may get to know before he dies. And that world's in my womb. And I want it to be as safe as I can make it for him until God calls him home. I refuse to cut that time short just because there's a physical problem. Only God can give you that time of thinking. This is the only thing that my son will know in this world, if anything at all, and I am not going to cut him short just because there's a problem. God is a gracious God. He can give life, he can take life, and there's nothing he can't do. And if God sees fit to take him, then fine. But I'm going to give him the best I can give him while he's in this world. Because God has given to me. And of course, the child did later, was born. She didn't say whether he was aborted or he died by a miscarriage or what. But the fact that she said that, only in all I said today, only God can give a mother that way of thinking. That's really near precious. It's one thing to know what causes children. It's another thing to know that a mother is in tune with that child 9 months at least before anyone else knows much about it, except what we see through modern day technology. And our hearts should go off to mothers today. As I say again, one who God has adorned with replenished majesty concealed that's hidden from the unredeemed heart that can be seen with the redeemed heart as we look at mothers. And I say to you this morning, mothers, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and to those who has a mother's heart just waiting for a child to either be born or be adopted or the day will come when God will allow a young lady to be called a mother. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again to understand that you give many things in your word about life. And one thing is the procedures that goes on to bring about the creation of humanity in the image of Almighty God. And Lord, no mother or dad, especially mothers today, can perform what needs to be performed in society without a redeemed heart that pleases God. It's so easy sometimes to be caught, if someone may use the language, something to hinder me from being what I need to be young in my life, my vocation, my job, my way of life. I have a right to this body, many say. I have a right, my own right. But we have to understand it's easy to remove something in life, and maybe many things would be all right. But Lord, one thing is for sure, when it comes to life or the creation of humanity, this world can call in a mother's womb that baby that's there a fetus all they want to. But we know there's a time when Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit and Jesus was conceived in her body. She went to see her cousin, according to Luke 1. And Elizabeth had already expected a child at her age. His name was John the Baptist. According to the story, he was 6 months in Elizabeth's womb. And Mary had just been conceived, had just conceived by the Holy Spirit, the seed of God. And I don't know how long it took when she found that out, but certainly within a few weeks at the most. The conception in Mary, in the presence of Elizabeth with a son called John the Baptist. He was not born physically yet, even not completely formed like he would be, but certainly formed much more than something just be called a piece of flesh fetus. We thank you, Lord, to understand that John the Baptist, been six months in his mother's womb, said when Mary walked in her presence, the Holy Spirit moved so much that John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb in the presence of the Savior in Mary's womb, setting forth the power of God, even among that which the world laughs at and calls a fetus. Dear Father, we do thank you to know these mothers across this country and the world who've lost their little ones, either because they wanted to or accidentally, or because they were just born early and didn't live. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful that takes away our sin when we confess it with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. It does the same thing for that little babe. One day, they'll see him again. So help us this morning, if there's a mother here or listening by way of radio or you stream, doesn't know Christ as Savior, please let them see they're missing something there. They can't give what they really need to give biblically, because only being born again can we understand what God says about life. And I pray you honor yourself today, Holy Spirit. I submit to you, Holy Spirit, so you can honor Jesus Christ by presenting the way of life. And honor the Heavenly Father, that the one who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that we all might have this eternal life. And again, realize that hidden in that mother is that hidden majesty that only God gives, that where one in the image of God could be conceived and grow to a point so when he comes through the birth canal in this world, he sees a greater world than where he was at before. And one day when the Lord comes back and receives us unto him and through the spiritual world that he's living in now that we only can see by faith, we're going to see again in the rapture of the church, there's a greater world on the other side than what we see here right now. And we thank you for the promise made in Christ. It's not limited to anyone, but it has to be received. And you said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Help mortal words that are feeble be powerful in God's hand to bring conviction to hearts to say, if I can't offer my child anything else, I do my best to try to offer my godly mother. through Jesus Christ, or a godly dad through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.